GF.
I could have that first slide because, wow, Jesus has a healthy expectations of us, which is continual transformation. How amazing. That's what he's revealing to us right now through what we've been singing and through communion. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, as we go through this part of your word given to us, Lord, we continue with open heart and mind. Holy Spirit, would you come and bring your revelation to each of our hearts today? Thank you, Lord. Amen. So we're continuing Colossians. We've stopped and started for various reasons. Back into it today. Awesome. So it's great that you're here. Paul, just to recap, is actually writing this to a church he hasn't visited to and is imprisoned. And yet his heart, what a beautiful heart has Paul. He wants to write to these Christians and say, hey, do you know what God has called you to? Because it's important that God has healthy expectations of you. And so I'm going to let you know what they are. What a good friend. I wonder if we do that with our friends and with our Christian brothers and sisters. You know, it's easy, I think. I know I've got to watch myself. And it's okay to talk about everyday stuff because we live in everyday life. But do we bring to mind things for people to consider? Have you asked what Jesus says about that to you right now? You know, when they bring up issues or, you know, and then it reminds you, oh, what is God saying to this person right now? God, show me. Oh, I think, you know, I sense God might actually want you to think about this instead or behave like this instead. Let's keep calling each other up to the fullness of life that Jesus has paid everything for. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. And we have a saying in the vineyard, actually, the next slide, and it says, and we've just been praying and talking about that, come as you are, but don't stay as you are. Because we know that God loves us right where we're at, right today, no matter where that is. But we know too that God wants so much more for us, doesn't he? That he wants jubilant life and divine peace that doesn't get rocked by our circumstances, and grace and patience and goodness to be oozing out of us that we experience at first and then we get to live it out. And so in the vineyard, we have that too. Anyone, come through that door. Come and sit with us because we're all on a journey together in this, that we're all in this process of wonderful divine transformation that Jesus has died to bring us into. So let's go to the next slide. We're going to start with Colossians 3 and we're going to get through 1 to 14. I think I said in 1 to 17 before, but I dropped a few verses because Toe's going to pick him up next week. So all is good. And I said our address has changed because it's interesting when you read this. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So what Paul is saying is something pretty awesome, and he said it in another letter to the Ephesians, that when we have said yes to Jesus, yes, I see what you've done. I want you to be Lord of my life, whatever that looks like. And Holy Spirit comes in, whoosh, we get transported. We now live spiritually in a different place entirely. We're earthly beings. We're spiritual beings with an earthly life that we're walking out, but we have this concrete spiritual address. And that's because we have been recreated, a totally new being, living in a totally new place. So Paul is speaking about the absolute spiritual reality that is now at work and is true for everyone sitting here. Now, I have a bit of a silly example to try and illustrate this because I know for me, and I'm sure for you, you think, Great, I'm in this place in Christ, and he's at the right hand of God. That means we're in a place of authority. So that means I now have the access to have absolute mastery and authority over how I feel, think, do, you know, anything I keep falling into, any addictions or lies, anxiety. Well, I have them now. I am in a space, that's what Paul's saying, where I can actually say no. I don't partner with that. I don't agree with that. I'm in heavenly spaces, places in Christ. I'm in Christ, so that my experience should be entirely different. Well, how are you doing with that? Yeah, it could be challenging, can't it? And so what I'm trying to say is, you know, from an earthly perspective, what Paul is saying seems outlandish. It's almost like we're monkeys. Well, we're not monkeys at all. This is really stupid. I'm telling you that this analogy can only go so far, okay? But just try and stay with me. We're monkeys that can breathe air through our lungs. We hop through the trees having a great time. And then suddenly we change habitat. We change everything. We become a fish. We now breathe through air, through gills, and we swim in water. We're not even in the air anymore. I want you to get it. God's transformation is like that. It's entirely, we're entirely new creations. It's not an upgrade. We're not monkeys that can suddenly do different things now. We're entirely different. You're not monkeys, by the way, and you're not a fish either. But I want you to get that we have been totally transported out of the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. What Jesus has done on the cross is miraculous. It's life-changing, world-amazing, momentous. The whole universe stands in awe. The angels are in awe of what Jesus has done, and it's complete and it's final that you are new creations. You have completely changed and you have a completely new address now. You are in Christ, at the right hand of the Father, in a place of authority. So you can speak into your own life and say, no, I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to have that anxiety. No way. I'm not going to partner with that. No, Jesus has set me free. His truth is in me. This is the truth. I'm in a place of authority right now, and I stay in that place. And it's mine to keep agreeing with and living out. You are new creations and you have a new address. Let's not forget that. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. So we are totally new creations. We are now to exist in a new and different way. We're to flesh out not yet. I'll let you know. Thanks very much for that. We are to flesh out this spiritual reality, that we are new creations in a new space and place. So the reality now is that we now to live it out, walk it out, walk out this spiritual reality in our day-to-day earthly lives. Okay, you're with me. I love it. Awesome. 100%. Amen, brother. Okay. So, yeah, but not always easy to do. Sometimes, what was that? Fears come in. Oh, I've got limitation. Where did that come from? No, hey, what? Paul understands all of that. And that's why he said there, since you've been raised with Christ, that's the reality, set your hearts on things above. And that set your hearts, I'll tell you what that means. It means to seek something through thinking, meditating on, reasoning with, to strive after. Okay? So he's saying it's not going to come naturally to you. It's not a part of our earthly experience. This is a spiritual, it's not going to come naturally, it's going to come to us spiritually. We need to be aware of God's truth, that, and the Holy Spirit keeps revealing to us even more when we actually read his word. That's where we're going to find the truth. Please, let's fall in love with his word, God's word to us. And as we partner spiritually with it. That's what it means. Then we start to see change and we start to bring ourselves, our brains, into this spiritual reality that is real and is right now. God has done his part. I mean, Jesus has come. I mean, amazing. We're new creations. Awesome. All of that through the grace of God and our faith to say yes. So he's done everything. He's done all the work, and we need to do ours. There's something we need to do. We need to actively partner with truth. We need to grab hold of it with everything we've got to strive to make sure that truth fountains up in us and out of us. We need to flesh out this spiritual reality in our physical lives on earth. So Paul, very well aware of this, wants to encourage us now to think differently. So with our new address comes a new way of thinking. New slide, please. Colossians, verse 2. So set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. Something else to think about. We'll talk about that. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Okay, again, to set your mind, to direct your mind. You have to choose. You have to direct your mind to a specific focus. Again, to strive. There's work in this. Again, it's not going to come naturally. You have to decide. What are you going to set your mind on? What are you going to... You have to make that decision. And he says, not on earthly things, in that second part of that verse 2. Not on earthly things. Okay, Okay, what's earthly? What's earthly? Maybe, I think, earthly ways, cultural norms, things that people demonstrate or the world promotes of behaving, mindsets. We come from different cultures too, so that can all impact us. Mindsets, attitudes, they impact the way we think about other people, how we treat people, our family, our friends. You know, those mindsets impact all that. Because if we're number one, that's what the Western mindset is and around, well, everyone else is going to come second, aren't they? That's not God's way. You always just want to think about your own way, not necessarily think about others. That's earthly. That's an earthly thing. Or I guess specifically earthly things might be things that the world considers valuable and important. Power, control, having security, which they try to find in that sort of thing, power, control and stuff. Yep, intimidation. Not great for relationships. But I think, you know, yeah, we all want security. And I, you know, sometimes, you know, I might want to have control in my situation and I might not think about the needs of others at that point because I actually want to have the last word or whatever. And I'm sure none of you are like that at all. But I'm talking to myself. So, but Paul offers an alternative in that first half of verse 2 to set our minds on things above. So what are those things? What does that mean? Because it also says that we have a new life now that's in Christ. So we're now to think like Christ. Okay, we want to have the mind of Christ, to live like Christ, to respond like Christ. So it's amazing when we read the Gospels and see how he lives. And Philippians 2 talks about the attitude of Christ, the mindset of Christ. And that was to live like a servant. Whoa, well that turns everything on its head, doesn't it? To live in humility. That God is God, we're not. And everyone that I come in contact with, actually they're made in the image of God. God loves them. Ooh, he wants me to love them, serve them, to be a blessing to them. Wow. And to have our focus on heavenly realities, the reality that God is Father, Son and Holy Spirit, God's majesty, his sovereignty over everything. And we've talked about the supremacy of Christ that Paul talked about earlier. And that means that with Christ, the supremacy and power of Christ means that nothing can compare with it on this earth. Nothing can overpower Christ in us. Nothing. Nothing in this universe. Nothing. Let's keep our minds on heavenly realities. We live in a powerful kingdom and we live within the King himself. That blows my mind. You know, I think we actually need our minds constantly blown because God wants to keep shaking this up, to reset, reorder the way we think about our lives in Christ. We're in the King of creation. Our life is in Christ. Whoa. You've really got to take time to let that sink in. This is huge. It reminds me, actually, of when I've done some counselling with, there was this counselling model called Lie Busters. It sounds very violent, but sometimes we actually need to be. And it connects you with Jesus, and Jesus reveals his truth to you. And we need to stay in the truth. Exposes lies. We work with Jesus to get rid of those lies and then we hold on to the truth. Because Jesus always brings truth and the Holy Spirit is continuing that for us, isn't he? Jesus is with the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit is here continuing to expose the truth to us. And we need it because it's the truth that sets us free. Praise God. The next verse, which I don't have on slide, it says, When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Wow, we are so much in Christ that he is our actual life. When Christ, who is your life, he is the true essence of who we really are. It's Jesus, Jesus in you. You and Christ are the same. It's the way God the Father sees you. When God the Father looks at you, he sees Christ because you're in Christ. And how reassuring that when at the end of the age Christ appears, it says we will appear there also. This life on earth is all taken care of. We're in Christ. And when he comes again in glory, that's we're going to be right there with him. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amazing. Okay, but we do have our work to do. It's all by grace, but we need to put in effort. It's really the only effort we need to do is really what's going on up in here. Once we get that right, everything else can flow out. All right, let's do the next slide. Colossians 3:5. Let's go on from there. So it says, put to death. Whoa, strong words. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality. Paul talks about sex all the time. We don't tend to talk about sex in the Western world, especially from an English kind of heritage. You don't talk about such things. My mother never did. So that's probably why I had a carnal curiosity to find out more and I went down very quickly. That's something that's always lurking around. This is part of the enemy's schemes. So if you think you're okay, great. Stay okay. Stay in the truth. Be aware that this is a big part of what the enemy does to bring us down, okay? He wants purity. Where there's purity, whoa, you are strong. That's strength. So, sexual impurity. Oh, immorality, impurity, sexual, what am I doing here? Lust. I'm going over and over. Lust of all sorts. Oh, gee, that looks yummy. I think I might eat that. You know, we can do it after, you know, it could be a sexual thing. It'd be after food. It can be, oh, I just want that car or that motorbike. And it's for everyone. Yeah, what's in our heart that reveals what's in our heart? Evil desires, greed, which is idolatry, trying to fill our needs, our security by stuff in this earthly plane rather than what Jesus has already done. I mean, wow, you can't top that. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, used to, in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves. And I thought, gee, Paul is using really violent language, but it reminded me, I don't know if you remember when Jesus said, you know, how to enter the kingdom of God, whatever is stopping you, get rid of it. He said, chop off your hand if that's going to stop you from getting into the kingdom. Pull out your eye. Oh, wow, that's a pretty hard Jesus. But Jesus isn't saying us to actually literally do that. He's saying, you guys, you need to watch out what's going on in your life because this is serious business. Jesus says, pull out your eye, cut off your hand. We need to take ourselves seriously in our life and reflect and think, what am I looking at? God, is this pleasing to you? What am I doing? What am I doing with my life, my actions? Because he wants purity. He wants us to get rid of and put to death those things. All we need to say to ourselves is, no way. I don't need to do that anymore. I don't need to do that because I'm in Christ. He is my all in all. He's my everything. And he is the bread of life. He's satisfying. He satisfies my life more than anything else in this world. All I need is Jesus and more of Jesus. Amen. All right, let's put up the next one. So, you know, when Paul tells us what being a new creation looks like, and as we look at it, we can see it's all emotions, you know, and rage and stuff. It's all the stuff that impacts our relationships. Because God is all about relationships. He's about our relationship with him and each other. And Jesus said, you will know my disciples by their love. Wow. He wants us to do relationships really well. And Paul talks about that here. He says, but this is what we don't want, sorry. This is what we don't want. We want to rid ourselves of these so we take them out of our relationships. You must rid yourself. Again, it's our intentional action and decision to do this. You must rid yourself of all such things, such as anger. Wow, do you ever get just like, explodes out of you? There is a righteous anger, but if it's not that, we can do that, can't we? Rage, malice, having ill intent, not wishing the best for someone. God wants us to wish the best for others. To slander, to not speak the truth, to speak negatively about others. Filthy language. Get rid of all that. Do not lie to each other. Since you've taken off your old self with its practices and you've put on your new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. So we are a new creation. Yes, it's a reality and we're in Christ in heavenly places, but it's also a process. We are being renewed. That's a relief. I don't have to be perfect today. You don't either. But there are healthy expectations that you're heading in that direction. So becoming a new creation, he's talking, Paul gives this analogy of putting on a coat. And so through faith, we've taken, he's saying, take off that old coat because I've already put a new coat on you. And our brain and our mindsets are having to catch up. So with the new coat now on, we are in this process of continual transformation. Absolutely. Open your arms, receive it. Which happens as we allow our minds to be renewed with divine wisdom. Divine wisdom, the wisdom of God, transformed by the truth, which is what it looks like to be like Jesus. That's truth. Jesus is a living, walking, breathing truth example we have. Praise you, Lord. It's not, and this is a truth, it's not something we get to determine or imagine what it looks like, but it's Jesus. Truth is what we see displayed in the life and resurrection of Jesus, and this demands us to change. It demands us to change and to keep changing. Can I just have the next slide? Karl Barth, a hero of mine, theological, amazing guy, way before his time, and he said, the gospel is not a truth about among other truths, because it's the truth about Jesus. Rather, it sets a question mark against all truths. So we should be questioning everything in life. Does this line up with the life of Jesus? He had a lived-out experience that got him to that point. The era that he lived in, he lived in Austria, but was in Germany and was there during World War I and World War II. He very humanly grew up. He had this attitude because his father was a minister in the Reformed Church. So he thought of, as a young man, I don't want to be like my dad. I'm going to learn about God, but not through that vein. I'm going to go and learn under these liberal theologians. So he did that, and they were in Germany. And different way of learning in those days, amazing. But anyway, so World War II comes, and you can see, leading up to that, the Nazi regime and Adolf Hitler and rising up, because the liberal theologians, rather than looking at Jesus as the centre of their truth, they would look at what they would term natural theology. So they would determine what God is like by looking at the natural world, by human interactions. Oh, we're like this, so God must be like that. Or the natural world is like this. So you can imagine, natural world, it's only the fit that actually survive. So if you're not up to our standard, well, you must be down here. You don't have to, you don't need to remain. So all that's a great excuse now for killing off people that we don't think actually are up to God's standard. And Karl Barth said, no, what you believe should impact how you behave. And what you're believing is allowing you to kill people. No. So he stood up to Hitler and got banished back to his homeland. Thankfully, he wasn't killed. But he was this argumentative voice in the Christian world then. He said, no. The truth that you need to live up to is displayed in the Gospels, and it's Jesus Christ. We need to be Christocentric, not man-centric or nature-centric. It's all about Jesus, and it demands a change in our life. And so he changed. He went back to what he was brought up to believe by his dad. Became a Reformed theologian and became a fantastic voice in the Christian world. Amazing. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Let's get to the next slide. So here's what our new coat, what it looks like to be a new creation. This is the healthy spiritual expectation that God has and that we can have of ourselves. And we all get to play. I like this. This comes just before. Everyone gets to put on this new coat. We're all here from different upbringings, different nationalities, but we all get to be in Christ. How awesome. It's not just for one culture, one people. It's for everyone. How awesome. Next one, please. This is the expectation. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe. Again, it's an action that you get to choose to do. You don't have to. You can choose to do this. Please do it. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have one another, because God's already forgiven you. Receive that fully so that you give it away too. And over all these virtues, put on love. Again, a deliberate choice. We get to put it on. Put it on. Say yes to it, because that love binds everything all together in perfect unity. I don't know what you're like, but I know that I'm pretty frail. I just have to miss a night's sleep, and I'm not the beautiful, patient, gracious woman you probably think I am all the time. And I know you're not like that. And God knows that too about you and me. He knows how we're made. He made us. So he knows we're not going to get it right all the time, and that, you know, we do fail. That's why Jesus came, because he knows what we're like. And he came to show us what it looks like to look like a real human being, living in relationship with others and with God, hanging out with God. He came to show us what God's really like, and Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy, Satan. And we have access to all of that through faith. All we have to say is yes in our hearts. And now we have Jesus alive in our hearts, and we're alive in him by his Spirit. And his Spirit is with us now to the end of time, forever, the word says. The Holy Spirit's in you now and forever to help us now in our every moment to say yes to Jesus, to say yes to what he's doing, to keep choosing him, to keep surrendering. We have to give up what we think is right, to keep obeying, living in obedience to how Holy Spirit's leading us as we dwell in his truth. So Paul wrote this to encourage the Christians in Colossae. And God is bringing this to us today to encourage us all that he's with us, in us. He's saying, hey, he's cheering us on to say, and I've got healthy expectations of you. You were born again by the Spirit. You start as a baby, but don't stay there. Keep growing. He wants us to keep changing so we get to experience amazing life, amazing, amazing peace in the face of terrible trials. Amazing. So let's continue and come and be open to this beautiful more, because there's always more that God wants to show us. I love this picture. Let's come to God as his little children. We're all just as little children. We're just kids. We try to act like we're bigger sometimes, but this is how we really are. And we're dearly loved. And we're safe in God's tender care. Safe. We're safe in God's hands. Wow. Let's pray. Lord, beautiful Lord, we acknowledge you are truly with us today, right now. Your presence is with us, and we invite you in into those deeper places of our hearts and minds. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, we just totally surrender to your love, to your good ways in us. Thank you, Lord, that you don't leave us where we're at, but you are actively working out your beautiful will and purposes in our life through your Spirit. We need your truth about who we are, who you are. Lord, that we put off the lies. Help us, Lord, to hunger for your word. Lord, help us to do that this week. If nothing at all, Lord, help us to hunger after you and your word, to let that dwell in us, for your truth to replace lies and the limitations and the fear that come so often. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come and have your way in us. Thank you, Lord. Come, Lord. As we sing these next two songs, let's just come with that attitude of open heart, letting God reorganize us from the inside out. So come, Lord. Come, Lord. We invite you. You are welcome here. Thank you, Lord.
So feel free to join in with us as we sing that Christ.